So you'll see, how's it going today? You doing all right? Awesome. Great to have you today. Thank you for being here. If this is your first time with us, we're super glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. We are in the second week of a brand new series we started last week called Offensive Parenting. And the whole idea of offensive parenting is to be proactive in your parenting rather than reactive in your parenting. So if you were unable to make it last week, I'm going to give you just a couple of key thoughts so it'll bring you up to speed with what we're going to talk about today. So let me start here. We started last week with this idea. How would you parent if you were parenting for the best results in your child's life? I mean, let's be honest today. If you're out there and you are a parent, would you say, I want to get the best results out of my parenting with my kids? Raise your hands up high. If your hand's not raised, I question your parenting today, just so you know. Yeah, all of us want the best results in our child's life. So we need some insight on what that looks like. So what we suggested is this, is as we continue in this series, we're going to look at the Word of God and how God parents us. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you've placed a personal faith in Him, you are what the Bible refers to as a child of God. You are a father, or you are a son of God, or you are a daughter of God. So God is your heavenly Father, and everywhere that you look in this Bible, you're going to see references in which God is looked upon or referred to as a father figure. And what you're going to see in time and time again is how God parents us as His children is extremely, extremely proactive. It's offensive in nature, not defensive in nature. So what offensive parent means, and it's not offensive. God's not going to get up in your grill unless you just keep disobeying and you don't want Him up in your grill, all right? But offensive parenting means this, is I'm going to find out, I'm going to get ahead of my kids, and I'm going to find out what they need to know now before they even need to know it. So in essence, kind of offensive parenting is this, is I'm going to get them ready for what's coming instead of defensively waiting for the problem to show up and deal with it then. That's called defensive parenting. Culture teaches us. It pushes us in the direction of being defensive parents. How many of us would just be honest today and be like, you know what? What you're saying, I'm kind of tracking with, but I'll be honest with you. Many times I parent defensively. I kind of wait for the problem to happen, and then I deal with it then. Anybody out there? Yeah. You're bad parents, just so you know. That's not the greatest way of parenting. God actually says there is a better way. Now, I've been there with you, so I'm not slamming you. It's very easy to get caught in the moment and react to a situation. But God says, you know what? You can be proactive in this. And I'm going to teach you and show you, God says, some ways that you can be offensive in nature. You always can keep the ball in your hands. All right? That's what we're talking about. So, in essence, last week, this was kind of the key idea behind offensive parenting. If you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. Offensive parenting is really about preparing rather than protecting. Culture wants you to protect and keep your children inside the hamster ball world. When the reality is one day they're going to have to get out of the hamster ball and go into the real world. And we know that, so we need to prepare them for that. So it's more about preparing rather than protecting. So we proposed a couple questions for you that I think as parents you have to answer this. And how you answer these questions will directly imply how you are parenting, whether it's offensively or defensively. Here's the first question, very logical, but here's the reality. When you think in terms of your parenting, are you raising a child or are you preparing a future adult? See, how you answer that will dictate the style of parenting that you are leaning towards, defensively or offensively. If I am preparing a future adult, then I am looking out into the future to figure out ways now that I can teach and train my kids to be better adults in the moment of them being children. But if I am all about, can we keep that back up real quick? All right, there we go. If I am raising a child, then all I'm doing is worrying about the here and the now. And that's not what the goal is. The goal is to prepare them for the future. So I asked this question again, followed up by this one. What are you doing right now that is anticipating what they need to know before that need ever comes? And in short order, that would kind of sound like this. What are you doing now in your parenting that is preparing them for then? What are you doing now? See, because here's what I really genuinely believe. I believe more families than not are defensively parenting their families. They are reacting in the moments, and they're not preparing their children for the future. And just so you know, the reason why we do these parenting series, just give you a heads up, Satan is after your children. I'm telling you right now, I'm 44, I'm going to be 45 in a year or so. I love, follow, and faithfully serve Jesus the best of my ability with the Holy Spirit's leading in my life. I am of least concerns. It doesn't mean he won't attack me, but I am of least concerns to Satan than my children. Because every generation that has passed, and you know this, and some of you that are even more seasoned than me, knows that every generation seems to be falling shorter and shorter and shorter of God's standard. Once Satan has a generation, you think you're seeing end times now? You will see and be living in the middle of end times. So how you parent is vital. That's why we talk about this thing like every 3-4 years. It's huge for you to play a part in this. So if you want to catch up in full, go back, listen to it. You can even, if you stand watching this, you can watch it, last week's message as well. It's available on our webpage. So here's what you need to hear clearly today as we talk about today's message, all right? If there is an absence in adult leadership in your child's life, he or she will be left to be their own master. It's just as simple as that. Here's what that means. If your home exists with little, inconsistent, or no discipline, then I promise you, anarchy and chaos will reign. And some of you, that's piqued your interest, because you're like, yeah, that seems to be my house right now. Anarchy and chaos that's going on. And when I said discipline, that really, really brings people in. So you must know this today before we really get into today's topic. All right? This is about order, discipline, and boundaries when parenting. You must, moms and dads, you must be the dictator that picks your battles if you really want to win the war. You are the one. Stop letting your kids pick the battles, because they will be never ending. Moms and dads, you need to pick your battles in order to win the wars. Because, after all, being a good parent isn't worth any more excessive bloodshed. Can I get an amen on that one, right? Figuratively speaking, of course. We're not going to talk about discipline in the form of killing our children today, all right? So, it's not worth that. Now, with that in mind, that leads us into today's topic, which are the three primary roles of offensive parenting when it comes to discipline. Now, I'm going to just be forthright. I've spoke on this before 3-4 years ago, all right? But if you've been with us and you're going to hear some of these things, I've tried to mix it up a little bit more, but I've learned some more stuff too since then, and I'm adding to that. But if you've heard it, hey, man, you need to rehear it again. So just know that up front. But some of you are, and many of you are brand new, so this will be great for you out of the gate. But these are the three primary roles to offensive parenting when it comes to discipline in your home, all right? Here they are. I'm gonna tell you the first, the top or the three, and then we're gonna break them down individually here in just a second. But if you're a note taker, you want to write these down. Here's the first one. The first one is known as the groundskeeper. All right, the groundskeeper. Okay, so I got my field right here, but there's no lines on it, right? There's no lines. So this is gonna be crazy and chaotic. I got the cards. Any cards fans out there? That's really sad representation in Arizona. Are there any Cards fans out there? And I've got the Chiefs, and I could care less if you like the Chiefs. I love the Chiefs, so I don't care. All right, there we go. All right, I like it. Okay, so the groundskeeper is where you define the rules, the boundaries, and the lines. So in essence, the groundskeeper comes in, and I'm going to do my best at doing this. All right, and they define the field of play, okay? And then there's 50 and 50, so that's four lines. One, two, three, four. That was pretty darn good right there, right? Now, they're not perfect lines, okay? My goal for you is to create perfect lines. This is definitely not. All right, three, four. Okay, so the groundskeeper, that's the very first rule in offensive parenting when it comes to discipline. You must define the rules and the boundaries in your home. That is the very first rule out of the gate, all right? This is the unsung part of parenting when it comes to discipline, but it is a must. You must define the field of play, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Here's the second rule in offensive parenting, okay? The second rule in offensive parenting is the referee. Okay? The referee. I got this. I'll just put that right there. The referee. The referee. This is the hardest part in parenting. Okay? The referee is where you enforce the rules and the boundaries. This is where you enforce the rules and the boundaries. Now, chances are, we'll talk about this in a minute, there's some of you that don't like to enforce the rules in your home, and there's some of you like, dude, I'm good with that, man. I'll bring down, you know, smack daddy on whoever. All right, so we'll define that, all right, in a minute, okay? All right, and then the last rule of offensive parenting when it comes to discipline in our homes is the coach. And I got a great hat for that one. I got the Kansas City Chiefs. Y'all like them? I do. That's all right. I live in Arizona. I'm cool with that. I know. Chances are we've just got a lot of Seahawk loser fans out there. Okay, this just broke. All right. I got to get this on. Sorry, okay. But this is the third rule. Oh, gosh. Are you serious? There we go. Okay. Got my whistle. There we go. The coach. Okay. All right, so that is the third rule. And the third rule of parenting, offensive parenting, when it comes to discipline, is this is where we continually have to look for the teaching opportunities of the rules and the boundaries in the game, okay? So those are your three. You can write those down, and we'll break them down for a minute. But I get at this moment when we talk about parenting and we talk about discipline. Some of us are kind of a little edgy about that because we have different experiences in our life that we've experienced when it comes to rules, boundaries, and discipline. And the reason being is because many of us have probably experienced bad situations or bad experiences with discipline in our own lives, primarily with our parents when we were getting raised, okay? So what we did is kind of what we talked about last week is we decided that because I had a strict parent, I'm going to be leaning on this. Or I had a lenient parent, I'm going to be strict on this. So we've decided when it comes to discipline, because I was disciplined this way, I am not going to discipline my kids that way. Or I'm not going to discipline the way that I saw my neighbor discipline their kids. So we've determined this because of bad experiences. So we've already formulated in our minds these lists of these do's and these don'ts when it comes to defining rules and boundaries and discipline in our home. So we've already predetermined what that is, and we haven't even looked at what God has to say about it. And I think it's vitally important that we look at what God has to say about discipline to be able to do it right and be good and effective offensive parents. Would you not agree? So chances are today, what many of us have most likely seen, which is the darker side of discipline, it's not really discipline at all, okay? It's actually known as punishment. And here's what you need to know about that. There is a distinct difference between discipline and punishment. Here's what I mean. If you're a note taker, this is one you want to write down. Discipline is what you do for your children, so they'll be prepared when you're not in the room later on in life. This is what discipline is. It's what you do for your children so they'll be prepared for when you're not in the room later on in life. But punishment, on the other hand, is this. Punishment is what you do to your children to satisfy your frustration in the heat of the moment. There's a clear distinction between the two. How many of you are punishers? No, don't raise your hand right now. All right? So you need to understand there is a distinct difference. Discipline is a must. It has to happen. The Bible says it has to happen. And there are ways to go about doing it, and the Bible is clear on what those are. Discipline is offensive parenting. Punishment is defensive parenting. Punishment is what you do in the moment when you have lost it because the moment has got bigger than you. That's what we're talking about. And you have to understand the difference between the two. So with that thought in mind, let's talk about these three roles a little bit closer today. Let's talk about the groundskeeper. The groundskeeper. Groundskeeping, like I said, is where you clearly define what your child can or cannot do, right? Chances are many of you out there as parents, you have some ideas of what your kids can or cannot do. But chances are many of you have not sat down with your husband or your wife and you've clearly defined the field of play. And you say, no, this cannot happen. Yes, this can happen. You've yet to even have that conversation. And you have unclear boundaries and rules. Listen, Proverbs 29:15 says this. The rod, and everybody freaks out now. The rod of correction imparts wisdom. But a child left undisciplined disgraces his mother. Now, don't freak out when you hear the word rod right here, okay? Many of us have this image of what a rod means, looks like, and probably feels like. The rod here is actually implying and used in the same verbiage in Psalm 23 when we read, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. To understand what the word rod means here is, yes, there is going to be some contact involved from time to time. But a shepherd is what we're talking in a context. A shepherd would have a staff. And the staff would have a crook at the top part, and at the bottom, it was a rod. And when a sheep was getting out of line or out of order or away from the flock and close to danger, they would use their rod to physically nudge them, to coerce them into a direction, to guide them, all right, and to, in essence, discipline them. And isn't it interesting that word discipline actually comes from the word disciple? Interesting. They think it's interesting. All right. And the way that we do the rod of correction is to instill discipline. Guys, your children are fools. My kids are fools. All right? I love your kids and I love my kids, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Folly is bound in the heart of a child, which means if they are a fool, they are not wise. So hopefully you've learned a few things in your life and you become a little bit wiser yourself. Well, your goal as a parent is to then impart wisdom, and how you do that is through the rod of correction, through the nudging, through the guiding, through the these are what you can do and these are what you can't do. This is right, this is wrong. What are you doing in your homes that are laying down the foundations of right or wrong? This is a vital point to be made today, because here's the deal. In many, many homes today, there are vague rules. There are vague foundations. There are vague and inconsistent boundaries. So the clear role of a groundskeeper, you have to, moms and dads, you have to define the field of play. You have to. And you're wondering what's wrong in your homes. Your kids don't even know what's right or wrong. Listen to what we're talking about. What do the boundaries look like in your home? Have you ever prepped the field of play consistently and clearly? I'm telling you guys, you cannot even come. You will fail. Your kids will laugh at you if you try to throw a flag at them, right? And then when you try to teach them something, no. This is the first and this is the must. Just think about this idea. Groundskeeping is the unsung part of parenting. Nobody likes to put in place boundaries, rules, right? You don't go to a Cardinals game and say, and you know, kind of just like do everything you can to search out and find the groundskeeper, the head groundskeeper for an autograph. Nobody does that. They're the unsung contributors to the game. I think we'd all agree that. But here's what we do know. If there were no boundaries, from right there to right there, it's okay. You can go wherever you want. Right? Wherever you want. If there were no boundaries, I think we all would agree that there'd be no game. There was no clear definition. What's a touchdown? I don't know. Good luck finding it. That's what we're talking about right here. Listen, I guess this would be the best way to illustrate this. Any of you remember growing up playing pickup football games, pickup baseball games? You know what I'm talking about. Some of you robbed of childhood if there's only like four of you that played pickup games. My gosh. Listen, now, again, let me tell you, I'm speaking very, very plain blue today, big time. And I told you last week that this series, I'm going to talk a lot of blue. And what do you mean by that, Pastor Josh? Blue means guys. This series, I'm coming at men. And here is why more than anything else, okay? There seems to be an absence of fathers in homes today. A clear absence of godly, fearing men that are leading their families well. And I want to be very crystal clear in how we communicate these parenting ideas to you, dads, men that are out there, guys that want to be dads someday, because you need to get this. It all starts with you, all right? So I get the ladies out there, you're pink, and you're smarter than the guys. Let's just face it, okay? And it's a whole lot easier for you to translate blue to pink than for him to translate pink to blue, okay? He gets lost. Pink, what, okay? So you understand what I'm saying, all right? Where was I at on that? Okay, so pick up football games. All right, some of you were robbed childhood. Now I'm there, okay. Pick up football games. Every single game that I ever played in a pickup game, just, you know, down at the park, local park or whatever, here's what we would have. We would have made-up boundaries. Made-up boundaries. What do you mean? Hey, we didn't have, you know, pylons. We didn't have field markers. So what did we do? We wrapped up bubblegum wrappers. Here's an out-of-bounds, right? Some of us played shoeless. We take off our shoes. Here's the touchdown right here, you know. Some of us take off our shirts. I won't do that for you today. I don't want to make the ladies lust today. All right, so our shirt right there, right? Hold on, let me take a drink. Here's a pop can. There's my other field marker right there. You know what I'm talking about, okay? So you had made up boundaries. And what always seemed to happen, man, that game got intense. It got hot. And here's what happens. Always seemed to happen during the game of a pickup game. Objects seem to shift during the game. The boundaries seem to move. How do they move? One guy went over, wiped the sweat off, threw it back down 5 yards farther. One guy got a drink. His can was empty. We don't even know where the first down is now. The can's gone. Right? Everything seemed to move and shift. And you can probably remember vividly what happened in that moment. People were like, "You are out of bounds." I wasn't out of bounds. Look at the marker. No, the marker's supposed to be here. No, it's supposed to be there. And then your great great game of football in the backyard or at the park turned out to be like this. You ended up spending more time arguing than you actually did playing the game. And I wonder today, how many of our homes spend more time with conversations like this between you and your children? I didn't know that. Dad, that's not what Mom said. What? Mom, you never told me that. Listen, folks. If you haven't learned this already today, please understand this. The rules and the boundaries have to be clear. And we have to be willing to repeatedly remark the field after each game. After each game. And this primarily deals with communication. The after each game means this. When's the last time that you saw the grounds crew stop the game, change the field of the play, right in the middle of the game? Timeout! We need to change this up. You're too close to a first down, so we're going to move it a little bit farther down. See, chances are you're going to have people scuffing and getting out of bounds, so at the end of the game, what do? Well, they're playing here next week, a home game, so we got to remark the field and make sure that the boundaries are clear. Because this issue right now that we just dealt with, there's another one coming, so I'm going to offensively parent, and I'm going to prepare you now for what's coming then. You've broken that boundary 5 times. I'm sorry. I'm going to double chalk that line for you. No. That's what we're talking about right here. Mom, Dad, define the boundaries. And don't change the rules in the middle of the game. Oh, please don't change the rules in the middle of the game. Here's what I mean by that. Chances are, like I just referred to earlier, one of you in your home is the strict parent. One of you in the home is the lenient parent. Point to the lenient and strict parent right now so nobody feels left out. Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. Okay. One's the strict, one's the lenient, right? And this is a wonder, isn't it? Because you're like, how does God do that? How does God put two completely opposite personalities? Why does God do that? And I think this just verifies God's sense of humor. You know what I'm saying? I've said this in a marriage series, you know? One, he created man and woman and put them together, and that's a great mystery. God even tells us, this is my sense of humor. Have fun working that one out, okay? All right, so that's the way it is. And chances are, there is lots of discussion in your home on what ought to be a line, what ought to be a rule, what ought to be a boundary, and what shouldn't. What do you mean? Those shorts are too short. I don't know if they're that short. You know what I'm talking about, right? Right? Ginger says that to me all the time when I go out with my shorts on. I'm like, I don't think they're that short. See what I'm saying, right? Okay. If this is your home, don't panic. Don't panic. Just don't change the boundaries in the middle of the game. You'll only cause more confusion. Fix the lines before the next game. Here's just preventative maintenance. Get through that game and then make sure the next time that game is played, you have clearly defined the game, the boundaries. Never ever, here's another one, never ever disagree on the rules in front of your kids. Oh, please, moms and dads. Stop doing this. Do you know what you're doing in that moment where your teenage daughter does come out and you're like, no, get back upstairs and change. That ain't going on, right? I haven't gotten there yet, okay, because I've got just a 9-year-old, but I know those days are coming. But mom's the one that actually bought the shorts, you know what I'm saying, okay? And you're not on the same page, and then you get into this argument together in front of your daughter or your younger kid, and you're starting to confuse them. Do you know what you're doing when you're arguing about the rules, the boundaries in front of your kids? Your little Tommy, little 6-year-old Tommy's over in the corner saying, oh, this is good. This is really good. He's looking now for loopholes, and he knows I can get loopholes if I can pit mom and dad against each other. They can't even agree with each other. How can they enforce? How can they even move to here when they don't even know what a rule or boundary is? This is good. Here's just a suggestion. agree publicly and disagree privately. Because after all, doesn't groundskeeping take place before the game anyway? Right? And this is where I can't really tell you how to make this happen in your home, but I can tell you that this is a must in order for you to parent well. And I can tell you this, be careful that you don't mark the field up too much. What? Don't mark it up too much. Why? Because too many lines can complicate a game. And now you're probably wondering, well, Josh, what should the lines on the field of play be? Well, my suggestion is this. Your line should be what Scripture says. The main primary lines are what Scripture says. Now, if you want to add a few more, that's cool. But your main primary lines should be what Scripture says. And here's what I mean by that. Don't mistake precedence, which is biblical, with preference, which is personal. Do not, don't gray area precedence. That is a black or white, that is an absolute no. Right? That line, it ain't moving. I'm sorry, I ain't moving this line. That is clear, the Bible says it. You can not like me, I could care less. Don't mistake precedence, which is biblical, with preference, which is personal. Hey, let me define that for you. We all grew up with rules and boundaries that were defined by our parents in some way, shape, or form. Things like, how long could your hair be? Right? How long should your hair be? As a guy in particular, or today. What music can you or can't you listen to? I remember these rules and boundaries. What clothes can I or can I not wear? You know, and now today, this is a grown one, is getting a tattoo right or wrong, right? Let me just tell you something. Listen, those are preferences. Those are preferences, and I'm not saying anything wrong with preferences. However, they should never, ever, ever compromise precedence. Ever. This is your standard. That is your best boundary and rule marker that you can define the state of play. And the Bible is crystal clear with biblical lines that can be drawn on parenting. So the greater question for you is this. Do you even know some of the biblical lines of precedence for your field of play? Do you even know them? How can you define a field of play with precedence when you don't even know what precedence is? All you're doing is defining your field of play with preference. Preference ain't gonna fly with your kids. Just trust me on that one. You can have some in there, but you're going to get more pushback on that. But with the God thing, dude, nah. You ain't doing that because God said no. It's as simple as that, right? Take it up with God. They're like, well, he won't talk. Well, that's your problem, not mine. You know what I'm saying? Right? You realize, moms and dads, you realize that when your kids are discouraged, constantly pushing back on you, you've marked your field up too much. You've got way too many, you know, you've got way too many preferences, not enough precedents. They're pushing back. And you realize that when this is like, dude, this is a vicious cycle. This is ongoing in my home. Why is this always happening? Here's why. Your field of play is filled with a bunch of gum wrappers, pop cans, and t-shirts, and shoes. You have not clearly defined the field of play. You got to. It starts here. You got to. Here's number two. Referee. Proverbs 13:24. This is probably every child's favorite verse in the entire Bible. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. No one even got that joke. I'll pick it up later. Don't worry about that. What this verse is implying is this, okay, when it comes to refereeing. Moms and dads, please hear me clearly. When it comes to throwing a flag, calling a penalty, enforcing a penalty, you cannot blow this off. If you fail to discipline, you are creating more chaos than your child will ever create in their life. I'm telling you, this is why, this is the unsung part, but this is the hardest part. This is the hardest part. Listen, let's face it. The referee only makes sense when they actually call a foul and enforce the penalty. After all, if they never did that, why in the world are they on the field? The moment the referee stops doing that, he or she looks absolutely ridiculous. You get games like the Seattle Seahawks and Packers with the replacement refs a few years ago, which I have no idea. Seahawks, you didn't win that game. I'm sorry. That was not a catch. That was not a catch. So if you don't do your job right, you look stupid. All the world except Seahawk Nation, 12 Nation, thought that was a catch. Everybody, listen, this is what I'm talking about. Let me see if I can explain to you what this means, okay? All right? You go to a Cardinals game this coming year. And the opposing team, Larry Fitzgerald, down in the end zone, he goes up and he makes an unbelievable attempt for a catch. But as he's going up, the defender grabs his mask, pulls it down. Larry can't even see the ball now, and nearly rips his head off. The all-time greatest Cardinal there ever was, Larry Fitzgerald. Who doesn't love Larry Fitzgerald? Keep your mouth shut if you don't, because you will get tarred and feathered out of here. Larry Fitzgerald, man. Rips his whole head off, right? This is crazy, and here's what makes matters worse. There's a referee that's standing right there as the play's happening, like this. Watches the whole thing and doesn't throw the flag. He doesn't do a thing. And then to make matters worse, they replay it on the Jumbotron. You're at home. You're throwing things at your TV. Are you blind? I can't say some of the things that you would say up here on stage at home. You are ticked off. You are absolute. This is ridiculous. Can't the whole world see this? The referee, who's still flagless, then does this. He runs over to the player who committed the foul. And he does this. That's a no-no. We don't do that in this game. Now listen, buddy. You go over there right now. You pick up Larry's helmet. And you give it back to him and you apologize to Larry. And listen, buddy, if you don't start doing it now, I'm going to start counting. One. Two. Hey, buddy, don't let me get to 10, because if I get to 10, you just wait until that other referee gets over here. Yeah, well, you're all laughing. You know what I just did, right? I just shared with you what many of your homes look like when it comes to discipline. When your child has crossed the line, broken a clearly marked boundary, disobeyed a rule, moms, dads, you have to throw the flag and you have to enforce the penalty. You have to. This is pivotal. This is pivotal. This is why this is so pivotal this morning with this particular role in parenting, because I get what some of you are thinking right now. You don't want to hurt your child's feelings. You want to keep them safe and happy. So you want to be your child's friend. I don't want my child to view me that way, Josh. I got some harsh, stark reality news for you today, friends. According to my Bible, which is precedence, you can't be your child's friend. Here's why. You weren't called to be their friend. You were called to be their parent. Let me just let you know a little bit more. Listen, just so you know. If your kids don't hate you at least once in your life, you're not doing a good job. You're not. Just think about this. Play it out practically speaking. In about 40 plus days, every Monday, Sunday, and Thursday, we're going to watch grown men play professional football who get paid millions and millions of dollars to do what they love to do. And they all need a professional referee on the field with them to make them obey the rules. So while you think about that, practically speaking, have fun being your four-year-old's friend. Throw the flag. Enforce the penalty. Now some of you are like, okay, Josh, okay, all right, back up off, bro, all right. Why don't you tell me what that looks like, okay? Here's my suggestion for you. One word answer of how that looks, consistency. If it's a pass interference one day, it's a pass interference the next day too. If it's holding one day, it's holding the next day too. And here's the biggest one. You got to call it when you see it. You cannot wait until they hold five times for you to finally throw the flag. That's inconsistent. Now here's what I also get, because you're like, okay, I get that. But there's different things that my child does. What it warrants this discipline, that discipline. Okay, I get that. If we're talking football, there's different penalties for different infractions, right? Holding is a 10-yard penalty. Offsides is a 5-yard penalty. Pass interference is a spot of the foul penalty, right? Personal fouls are 15-yard penalties and loss of down. And sometimes ejection from the game. We can kill our kids. I like that one. No, I'm just joking. I get there's different infractions for different fouls. So get this. Here's my suggestion to you. The biggest penalties are reserved for attitude, not for actions. Remember I said, folly's bound in the heart of a child. Your kids are dumb. Dumb. My kids are dumb. Okay? They're going to do dumb things. When they do dumb things and they like it, that's a heart issue. When they do dumb things just because they don't know, throw the flag, 5-yard penalty. Let's reestablish the field of play, okay? Listen, the biggest and most important penalties are called for penalties of the heart. In the Barrett household, I've shared this before, but this is what we try to enforce. These are some field of play things, okay? Field of play rules, boundaries, okay? I'll give you an example. When it comes to obedience, like when you've infracted, I've thrown the penalty, you're going to obey, you're going to do what I say, okay? And our goal is this, that you should and would obey this way. Immediately, cheerfully, and exactly. Now, listen, I'll be the first to admit, it would be great, great, great if we could get all three of those at the same time. But we don't, because our kids grow up, right? Different phases of life. Teenagers, good luck with immediately, cheerfully, and exactly, right? They know everything, right? Why don't we just, we should just elect a teenager president, because they know everything. They know everything. Okay, so you know what I'm saying, but these still stay the same. It gets harder as they get older, I get that, but to be honest, sometimes, actually most of the times, it's a rarity. Why? Because our children grow up, they change ages, and they're all different. They're different in personalities. For example, Cheris, I can just look cross at my Cheris, and crocodile tears just well up. I have broken the boundary. I've broken the rule. I've crossed the line. So I just look at her. Caleb, I look at him cross. Little defiant booger. He's like, I'm your Huckleberry. You know, it's one of those. And now I got a teenager, Isaac. Any teenage parents out there? Praise God. Support group starts after church today at 5 o'clock. I look at my son, Cross, 16 years old, who's like now taller than me. He's tapping his gun. Say when. You know what I'm saying? Those are for all the Tombstone lovers, those references right there, okay? Say when, all right? So this when I come to like immediately, cheerfully, and exactly, these are hard for all three of my kids, different personalities, different ages. The message of the house, though, still stays the same. The field of play is consistent. We're not changing that. We are going to get immediately, cheerfully, and exactly, all right? We can change the terms of what immediately looks like and exactly of what immediately and cheerfully and exactly, but what kid likes to get disciplined, right? You know, hey, thanks. Yeah, throw that flag again. Yeah, yay. You know, nobody does that, but we're after that. And sometimes I have to give up immediately for the moment. Sometimes I have to give up cheerfully, but here's the deal. The rules are clear. You go out of bounds here, I'm throwing the flag. And this is what your penalty is going to be. It's going to happen. And reality is this is one thing that never changes. You will do. It may not be immediately. I'll sacrifice that. It may not be cheerfully. I get that. But you are going to do exactly what I say. And I wish I could tell you that that works all the time. And it's that simple. It doesn't. It doesn't. Right? But the thing is here's what I'm after. I'm after this. If you accept the penalty, and you get it, and you realize when your kids get it, the heart changes. They can move towards being coached better. That's what you're after. You're not after regret, you're after repentance. And that's what I want with my children, because here's what I'm trying to teach them offensively from the standpoint of this. Listen, it may take 4 weeks for you to give me immediately, exactly, and cheerfully. But you're going to get this, because if you don't get it now, you're not going to be prepared for then when I'm no longer in the room and God says, do this, cross this line, I'm throwing a penalty, you're getting a flag, you're going to get in serious consequences and discipline on this. His spankings are going to hurt a lot worse than mine. That's what I'm after in this. When we discipline consistently because we discipline with wisdom. Proverbs 29:15. Remember, the rod of correction, what? Imparts wisdom. It actually, listen, I love this, because it actually, in the moments that we throw the flag and enforce the penalty, we're actually demonstrating love for our children. How many of you would say, I love my kids? I love my kids. Some of you are like, I ain't going to raise my hand because you would never believe what they just did last night. You know, no, just raise your hand. We love our kids. All of us would say that we love our kids. If you don't discipline your children, you're not demonstrating love for your kids. How can you get up in my face like that? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says if you don't discipline, you're not showing love. How many of you would say God loves me? If you wouldn't say that, I'd like to meet with you after church so I can share with you that he does love you. But all of us would say God loves me. Listen, Hebrews 12:6 says the Lord disciplines those he loves. Proverbs 3:12, the Lord disciplines those he loves. Man, and how many times when you were growing up did you hear, you know, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you? Right? Now that I'm 44 years old and I have to discipline, I have to, because I have to show them love. It really does hurt me more than it hurts them. I don't want my kids missing out on things. I don't like disciplining them because I love them. But because I love them, I have to. Because as I just said, I don't want them to get a spanking from God later on. It's going to hurt worse. It's going to hurt worse. Here's the third one. Ready? Here's the third one. Throw the flag. Enforce the penalty. Coach. Coaching is when we continually teach and train our children the rules and the boundaries. Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Here's what you need to know about the value of discipline and instruction. Discipline and instruction are the invaluable moments to teach and train your children to become prepared adults. This is offensive parenting at its finest. Here's what you cannot miss today about this whole coaching idea. Your demonstration, moms and dads, your demonstration of authority in your child's life is building the respect like no other process. The respect area. It is amazing how this works. It's just hard to put this into words, but some of the sweetest and the softest moments that Ginger and I have ever had in our lives is when it's immediately followed moments of discipline. It's the craziest thing. When our kids finally get it, sometimes it takes weeks, sometimes it takes hours, but when they finally get it, I went out of bounds. I committed a foul. The flag was thrown. I deserve the penalty. They receive the penalty. This moves me into a moment like no other moment. The opportunity for me to use that moment and teach and train them. When their hearts are soft and moldable. Soft and moldable. Listen to this. Effective coaching that follows discipline doesn't dwell on the moment. It uses the moment as a teaching opportunity. What do you mean by that? Stop beating your kids up for doing something dumb. They're kids, they're dumb, they're gonna do dumb things. All right? You threw the flag. You said, this is the penalty. You knew the clear line of play. Don't hold it over their head. This is the hardest thing for me. Stop dwelling on the moment. What's that going to do? Keep beating them up. When they've realized that they have gotten a penalty and there is going to be consequence, that's it. You don't need to say anything else. Take that moment and turn it into a teaching moment. Why? Because after all, offensive parenting is taking the now and preparing them for the then. That's what we're after. That's what we're after. Let me kind of close with this way and illustrate it this way. You've heard me say many times, this week's message and last week's message, there is going to come a day, moms and dads, it's going to come a day, you're no longer going to be in the room. Let's just face the facts. It's the truth. And if you are still in the room and your child's 35, you have problems and you need counseling, okay? All right? There is coming a day that you will no longer be in the room. I've had the privilege in my life, prior to ministry years, actually in my first part of ministry years, to coach high school football, basketball, and baseball. I played both high school baseball and football and went on and played college football myself. And here's the one takeaway. If someone said, in a nutshell, what does coaching look like for you? How did you do that, Josh? Here's what I would say. Here's what I learned the most about coaching. I don't play the game anymore. That's the most valuable thing for you to understand as a coach. You don't play the game. The kids play the game. What do you mean by that? There's too many Uncle Rico parents out there today. Too many parents that still think they're playing the game. You don't play the game anymore. So stop playing it with your kids. You're no longer a player on the field. You are off the field, and you are a coach now. Okay? I see this every year, man. Turkey Bowl. Gosh, a bunch of wannabes, man. Old guys, get out there. People always ask, why don't you play? I ain't playing. You seen those kids? They're bigger, faster, stronger than me. I know more than they do. So I can pass this off because I don't have this anymore. They have this. They don't have this. So I realize I stopped playing the game. I don't play it anymore. So here's what I do in coaching. My goal as a coach is to teach the game, their position, how they can contribute to the team, and they can strive towards achieving the one ultimate goal, which is to win the game. It's not a participation award. That's another problem that's wrong with our world today. Okay? To quote Herm Edwards, Kansas City Chiefs, you play the game to win. Let's face it, you do. you do. There is an outcome at the end of the game. There's no tie scores. Okay, you play the game to win. And that's what I'm after. There's no tie score for my kids when they move on in life. No tie scores. Hey, here's your achievement award. Thanks for playing life. No. The goal for you is to live a good, God-fearing, godly living life. That is my goal for my kids. That they would fear God and serve him faithfully. That in my book, that's not an attendance award. That's not an achievement award. That is a win award. Because they are living for eternity and not for temporary. That's what I'm trying to teach my kids. To win the game. While they're here, win this game. So how I do that is I teach them the boundaries. I teach them the rules. I teach them the consequences that come from not abiding by the rules and playing the game right. Why? So when you play the game right, you then can play it, you can enjoy it, and you can succeed at it. That's kind of my philosophy in coaching. Stop playing the games, moms and dads, your has-beens. Hang up your cleats. Okay? Move into the role that you were prepared to play. You know it. You can no longer do it. So now pass on the no to those that don't know to do. I do this. I did my best at when coaching. And you do your best at when coaching. When you instill within the players, which happens to be your children, the knowledge of the game, so it becomes so accurate, so precise. Why? So your kids are prepared for the game, life, when you're no longer in the room. When you're no longer in the room. That's what good, effective coaching, teaching, and training does. It realizes you can't be on the field with them forever. You got to come off the field. So teach them how to play the game right so they can do it well when you're no longer in the room. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Let me just wrap it up with this real quick. All heads bowed, eyes closed. There's the three roles of offensive parenting when it comes to discipline. Groundskeeping, the unsung part of parenting. Chances are today there's some parents that are sitting out there or standing now, and your heart's aching because you realize that you have not really done an effective job at laying down the lines consistently. You've struggled with your spouse to agree on the lines, but you've realized something today. You have to do it better. You have to get better at it. So the question is this. Can you put your differences aside and consider what God has to say about parenting and laying down the right lines? Preferences versus precedents. Refereeing, chances are there's some parents out there today, your heart's aching over the lack of enforcing the biblical boundaries and rules in your home. You've feared too much. You've compromised too much. I'm being obedient with what Scripture says about discipline, and you've struggled with doing it God's way, and you've done it your way too long, and you need to call the penalty and throw the flag a little bit more than what you're doing right now. Remember what Scripture says. If you love your child, you will enforce. Enforce means execute and administer discipline. You'll throw the flag. You'll enforce the penalty. It's not too late to make a change. There may be some parents out there today in the coaching area. It bothered you. Your heart is aching because you've realized that you have missed moments and you have missed opportunities to teach your children in that moment following discipline. Man, my son is going to be 16 in 2 weeks. I remember the day I took him to the hotel room in Abilene to wait for a week to get all the paperwork cleared so I could take him home. He is my bro, he is my number one man, and we could not be more alike. And in the early days, man, it was awesome. And today it's still awesome, but it's tougher. You know why? Because we are a lot alike, and he is growing up, developing a mind of his own. And what hurts me the most is this. Literally, I got like 3 years left. to do the best job that I can to clearly define the field of play. To still throw a flag and enforce the penalty. And to teach and train him when he has the heart to be molded. Some of you are out there, are grandparents, and you're hurting because you're like, gosh, I can't tell you how many people walked out and said, man, I wish I could have heard that message 15, 20, 25 years ago. It's not too late for you, grandparents. If you didn't do it well with your kids, and you're like, gosh, help your kids out now. Help your grandkids out. Here's what I want to challenge you to do today. Today is this. Is if you want to come forward and pray over anything, you're welcome to do that as we sing this last song. But I want to give you homework. Moms and dads, I want to give you some homework. I want you to go home. I want you to sit down and say, hey, have we defined the field of play well? Write them down. Don't come up with a list of 100. Come on, seriously. Have fun trying to enforce a list of 100 rules and throw flags on those. Come up with like the top 10, top 20, right? Lying, cheating, stealing, you know, whatever. And if they do that, then move into the refereeing, all right? That warrants a flag. They went out of the field of play. What is that going to be? What's the penalty for that going to be? And then clearly communicate it to your kids so they know, so they're not playing vague. Let's just face it, man. That would confuse anybody. That would frustrate anybody. If your boss, if you went to work tomorrow and he added all these rules, that would frustrate you. So come up with the field of play. Come up with the penalties. What are we throwing the penalties on? What are we going to enforce here? What's the infraction and the inference going to be? And then, gosh, please, before it's too late, take advantage of the coaching opportunities. Use those to the best of your ability. That's when your kids' hearts are most moldable. So there's your homework. Go home and figure that out. How well are you doing this? That's my prayer for you, and that's my challenge for you today. Let me pray for you. Jesus, thanks for today. We love you. We praise you. I thank you for the opportunity to look at you in Scripture and see how you parent us offensively, teaching us now what we need to know then. I pray that you give boldness and courage with moms and dads to do that this coming week. Develop, shape, get better at the 3 roles of parenting so they can do their best to prepare a future adult. We love you. We praise you. In your precious and holy Son's name, all God's people say, amen.